You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, I like putting on my hat. Go ahead.
Yeehaw!
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It's Dave's Corner Garage, coming to somewhat live. It's a crazy day today. Did you see the headlights this morning? The headlines
in the wheel section, which talks about 7 degrees.
Seven degrees. And what does that mean?
Time for winter tires.
Yes, that means schedule your winter tire changeover. It means 7 degrees. It's getting close. We're already in November.
Exactly. You lose traction when the temperature is below that if you still have your summer tires on, so to speak.
And joining us today is actually Trevor Hutchinson, the Crown Prince. We're never supposed to say that. But Trevor's here from Crown, and we're going to talk about prepping your car for the winter, which is one thing we should be doing. We're also going to be talking to David Tate, who is from Elegant Motoring, and David has some serious stuff to keep your car clean and prepped throughout the winter.
So really, we're all about protection today.
Today, we're going to talk about getting your car ready for the cold weather, and mm-hmm. I think that's a good topic we should be sticking with.
And protecting your butt, which having good tires on.
Good tires or fresh oil, having somebody look at the brakes, make sure they're serviced, make sure the body is serviced, right, Trev?
That's right. Yeah, this is absolutely the time of the year.
Yeah, making sure that the body is actually clean and then it's got the oil inside of it. You know, I have a car outside there. It's 11 years old and it has an old Crown sticker on it, mm-hmm. not a mark on the bugger. I just painted it because there's nothing wrong with the car. Mechanically, it was absolutely perfect. I have to thank the guy in Wasega Beach who originally bought it, and I paid $2,500 for it, and I got a car that can last for a couple of years. Yeah. Not for sale, by the way. And we're going to be talking about a new contest that's coming up next week. This is a great contest. We're getting you ready for the winter. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you a set of 4 sale and snow tires for your car or light truck. We're going to give you a car generator in case you get stuck in the driveway and mm-hmm. you don't have any heat. And Trevor's going to take one of your cars and fully service it with a Crown application, including the desalting and the Crown application everywhere.
They're getting everything.
You know, I was surprised, you know, when you do a truck, you actually take the taillights out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're going to treat the vehicle properly, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's where, you know, the difference between, say, undercoating and rust proofing.
Yeah.
I would say probably the second largest question we get at our shops is asking to explain the difference between an undercoating and what Crown does.
Let's talk about that when we come back. Alan, take us out.
Okay.
Dave's Corner Garage.
We got Dave's Corner Garage. And if you've got an automotive question of some sort or a specific one for Trevor, by all means, we're here and we've got a million years of experience and we're going to answer any of those all questions.
Yeah, if you go to facebook.com/Dave's Corner Garage.com, you're going to be able to see us live on Facebook. And if not, you can always pick it up later. It's really interesting to see us guys in the showroom because we're not the way you think we look.
We're actually much taller and skinnier.
Yeah, that's probably true.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
All righty, let's come back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. My name's Dave Redinger. We're Trevor Hutchison from Crown. Everybody knows Crown as far as it's concerned as taking care of your car as far as Russ is concerned. And, of course, Alan Gelman from Glen Allen Motors.
So, mechanically, I'm here to make your car last longer, and Trevor is here to make the body last longer.
And, of course, I had to tell you, my wife takes my car to Glen. And I had to pay.
I don't know if she's concerned how long you're going to last, though.
Yeah, I don't know, but as long as the card holds out, I think we're okay.
They're plastics, and I don't really rust.
You know, rust-proofing undercoating actually started years ago with Zeebart. He was trying to keep cars quiet because they were so tinny.
That's mm-hmm. right. Back in the early 70s,
yeah.
Zeebart came up, and the idea was to put on a material like a tar-type product that was black that really went in the wheel wells. Initially, and then they put it under the floorboards. But the idea was to sound it,
Because you hear the tin when you go
through the vehicle.
I mean, cars were that noisy?
Oh, terrible.
Really?
Yeah. And you know what? You know what's interesting today is because the materials they're using are a lot lighter. You know, you can see it in your doors. If you go back to an old Chevy or
automobile,
the doors were solid and that. The vehicles aren't that way. So manufacturers have tried things like putting foam into rear quarters and that for sound deadening. But that's not rust protection, right? Like rust protection is something that's done like regular maintenance.
So now the Crown product is actually works with an oil that has no solvent in it, and it actually creeps into these areas.
That's right. So the oil or the base stock that we use is much like a Vaseline, but it's just a carrier for a chemical inhibiting package. So when we have some residual dripping, what you actually see is the base stock. It's not the chemical inhibiting package. It's like we need something to transport it. But we try to explain to people that the way the Crown product works is a lot like static. That the way static clings to you, that's the way the Crown product clings to metal, right? And you know what kind of bond that creates. And then it's designed to repel moisture. But Crown's not going to solve every problem. It's like regular maintenance. That's why we compare it to, say, what Alan does as a mechanic is that, you know, he can't do something once on your vehicle and say, well, now your vehicle is going to last for your life.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like tires or brakes, these are things that wear out.
Now, do you recommend every year, but a lot of guys just do it every other year?
In the eastern part of the country, I would say that most consumers understand doing it yearly. But there are areas when you get into the middle part of Canada where you don't have the same moisture content and salt content, well, they'll do it every second year. Mm. The challenge is it's like, you know, could you extend an oil change? Well, I guess technically you could. Is that the best thing for your vehicle? No.
No, not really.
Interesting. So, and the other thing was I learned that you actually heat the product up to install it. So if it drips, it's hip.
Yeah. we may need to trademark that, David. I like that.
So it does drip. It does.
It will. There will be some residual dripping, but it really is very minimal. It's really dependent upon the reason we heat the product. Is it's metal is like our skin. It has pores, and if you're plumbing and soldering a pipe. When you want to draw the solder in, you heat up
something,
it sucks it in. Metal's the exact same way. So we heat it up to about 140 degrees Fahrenheit when we apply it so that it creeps and it penetrates in. But it's really the application. If the application's done properly, you're going to have minimal dripping.
Alan, how much do you charge an hour?
We charge $100 an hour.
Now, how much is a Crown? $139 or something?
Yeah, $139.
I mean, the stuff is free.
Well, especially when you go there, I know I've always been impressed because it's all of a sudden there's four or five technicians that are on your car. They're working that whole hour. And, of course, they clean the car before you even leave. Plus, they're putting material on that costs money. So, great deal.
I know. I was there once and the guy had a really expensive classic car. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want them to drill holes. And so the operator said, okay, not a problem. He took the taillights out, and he started spraying it in from behind the taillights. And this guy was so impressed.
Yeah.
I hope you left a big tip. I mean, like,
I got to say, our customers are exceptional. I mean, it really is. Like our business is a long-term business. Even where we make money is not on, you know, if Alan came in, had his vehicle sprayed once. That's not where we make the money. It's the long-term customer that builds our business. And so every customer is important, right?
Yes.
And every customer needs to be looked at.
A happy guy tells the world, an unhappy guy tells everybody, you know. Like, but the other thing that you don't really push is that you actually have CDs on every vehicle that comes in. You've done your research, where to spray, where to go. So the operator, if something comes in like a Rolls can hardly... He just goes and looks up Rolls can hardly, and there it is.
Yeah. And then that's really the difference between saying being with a company like Crown and being, you know, Dave's Rust Proofing.
Yeah.
Right? You know, people can get trained, but it's you know, the warranty, it's the training that goes with the vehicle knowledge. All of that packaged together is why people deal with with us as a company nationally.
I think it's also peace of mind. You know, you're spending now $40,000 to $50,000 on a car. It's not like a $20,000 piece of equipment.
Well, exactly, and it's way more technically advanced. Actually, we could talk about that when we come back.
Yeah, we're going to talk about electrical buses and TTCs when we come back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. By the way, if you go to Facebook.com and you like us and you follow us, you could be entering the contest and you wouldn't even know it.
What if they look at your face and go, eh, I'm not sure?
I'll send you $5.
This is Dave's Corner Garage with more levity and information right after this break.
Alrighty, welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. By the way, we had a technical problem. David didn't plug the phone in. We have a quick question we'd ask Trevor, and then we're going to go to phones. Trevor, you're working right now with Mass Transit. As far as electrical buses and electrical vehicles, tell us about that.
Yeah, so this is a phenomenon that's not just North American-wide. It's really worldwide. Europe's very involved in it now, and what they're looking at is to move to zero emission buses, right? That is the big thing where we see it in the automotive industry with companies like...
We used to have them, trolley buses, remember? Trolley buses?
Yeah, and it's going to come, and when you look at what public transit can do, so TTC is obviously one of the largest transit systems in North America, and they're right now doing tests with a number of different manufacturers on their zero emission electric buses. And one of the biggest issues with those, obviously, is the battery pack and component and the longevity of that. What do you do with that to recycle it or reuse it to because the thing is, you don't want to just eliminate emissions and then be putting more stuff into landfill, right? So one of the things that we do is we work with a lot of the manufacturers as to how to address corrosion issues that are related to electrical, because usually it's moisture related.
Mm-hmm. So it's connections that we were talking about, the wires turning green.
Battery connections, plug-ins, all things like that. Again, none of them are massive areas like spraying a frame of a vehicle. But they're small areas that can cause very large problems.
Well, sure. Don't forget, I mean, in the old days, you know, had a motor up in the front and it sent power mechanically to the back wheels. But now you're talking about each wheel perhaps having its own electric motor on it. So that has to be protected. Also, you know, you're talking about, you know, all the new vehicles, they kneel.
Yep.
Exactly. Thank you. So that's more electrical and mechanical equipment that has to be protected.
Yep. You know, I think we made a mistake because we used to have trolley buses, you know, with the wires overhead, and they just went along their route, and they were electrical, and then we replaced it all by diesels.
Yep, they went to diesel, and there's still properties like, you know, Hamilton's very big on using compressed natural gas, but electric is the way that they are going.
And I always think when I'm sitting on the Allen, TTC means take the car.
All right, you know, we're going to go to our calls. We've got a couple of questions specifically for Trevor. We've got Brian in Caledon who has a question for us. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, yes. Brian.
Good morning, Dave. It's Brian Asad O'Brien. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Any day I wake up is a great day.
Yes, indeed. Question for the Crown gentleman. I used to deal with the Crown at the Assured collision shop in Milton to get my cube van rust proof. They have now don't do Crown anymore. I just wonder if any location that will do a cube van.
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. Actually, we have a new dealer in Milton. He's been in the business for over 20 years. And if you go on to our website, you'll be able to pick up his location in that. The Assured folks actually sold out their business. They were really good business partners for us for a long time.
So they retired.
Yep. Well, they had quite a network of collision centers and decided that it was probably time to maybe divest a little bit. Mm-hmm. But they also owned the building. That was one of the challenges in there.
Instead of being the effing boss, they're the effing landlord. So look up crown.com, right? That's the website?
Yeah, you can find all our authorized dealers and most of our shops in and around that area, Burlington, Oakville, Georgetown, they can all take in cubes.
And that's another thing we should be saying is that these are not franchises. These are co-ops.
That's right. So all our dealers collectively own our company.
Right.
Right. So our head office who I work for, we don't take a percentage of their sales. Our job really at our head office is we manufacture virtually 98%. There's basically just two products that we don't manufacture ourselves that Crown sells out of our manufacturing facility up in Schaumburg. But our job really is to do the research and development, marketing, sales, and really dealer support for our dealers who own the company. What that means for the consumer is, though, that if you go to, say, Milton, and say we had a shop that closed down, well, and you have a warranty with Crown, well, you can go to any authorized Crown center and that's picked up. And you're also backed up by Crown's head office. So that's really the important aspect of our
deal. And another thing that I found out was if you have an accident or a repair, they'll actually respray it for nothing.
Yep. Free vehicle respray for any of our customers.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you're a first-time customer or you've been with us for 30 years.
Yeah. We're going
to... All right. No, we got Betty in Burlington. We've got Carol in Hamilton. We're going to get to those calls right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage.
You know, the automobile business is always evolving. There's always new products coming out. And we're going to meet a fellow by the name of David Tate, who owns a company called Elegant Motoring. Two products that he's promoting is one is a self-healing coating, and secondly, a UV glass that actually turns dark in the sunlight.
Magic, just like your
sunglasses.
Good
morning, David.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
You know what? I'm interested. This is fascinating stuff. So let us start first and talk about the self-healing coating. Tell us about that.
So basically what it is everyone's familiar with ceramic coatings these days. This is actually the next generation of ceramic coatings. So a lot of people are concerned, hey, if I scratch my car with your typical ceramic coating, how do I fix it? In the past, you can't. You basically got to polish it all off, put the money out again, and have it recoated again.
Is this like on the frying pan where you can make the eggs and it just slides off?
Like ball bearings. It's magic.
Essentially, yeah. The only problem is with the frying pan is that if I use my metal spatula and scratch the coating, I'm basically out of luck.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah. So with the self-healing coatings now, imagine having that frying pan, and as soon as you start to heat it up on the stove, those scratches disappear.
So how does this work? You apply this as a film, or I mean, we were talking off air, and it takes 1 or 2 days for this application to occur.
Yeah, exactly. There's actually three different levels. The difference between those levels is basically the thickness of the self-healing properties. So on the high end, you have about 15 microns, 10 to 15 microns thick. So your standard, you know, you have a black car, everyone's seen the swirl marks and micro marring you see on black cars after a while, usually like the next day after you bought the car.
Yeah.
Basically once the sun starts to hit the paint, it'll melt it back and self-heal all those micro marring and swirl marks that appear in the paint from simple things like washing.
Mm-hmm. So this next question is, you apply this to the front of the car, the back of the car?
You apply it all over the car.
Oh.
On every painted surface on the exterior of the car.
Now, question, what if your car is not brand new? So, in other words, you've already got, you know, some damage.
Micro-marring and
yes.
Swirls. Yeah. You'd bring it in. Typically, a shop like us, we would do a paint correction on it or do a high-speed polish.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are familiar with calling it, you know, a high-speed polish, a cotton polish, or a three-stage polish, all the same thing. Essentially, we'd bring the paint back to almost a flawless condition or as good as we can get it.
Right.
And then at that point, we would apply the coating. And the coating lasts, like, they actually warranty it, depending on what level you go with, for anywhere from 5 to 7 years.
Wow. So if you go with the $600-$700 process, the basic one, you're still going to get that long-term warranty?
No, with the lower end coating. So the coating is at $600-$700, you're not necessarily into the self-healing yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the self-healing basically starts in around $1,450, and then we'll go up depending on the size of the vehicle and stuff and how long you want the warranty and how thick the self-healing properties are.
So who would be your clientele? Like high-end vehicles like Audis or Mercedes or...
Actually, just about anybody. It's not necessarily the cost of the vehicle. It's more how particular the person is.
Right, so, how much pride someone takes in their vehicle and wants to keep it looking good.
Exactly. I'm super OCD myself, and I have extreme pride of ownership on everything I have. So I'm that guy who takes my running shoes into the dry cleaners to have them cleaned because I can't handle them being dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who basically most of our customers are. So we get customers coming in for these coatings that are driving Hyundais and Civics,
mm-hmm.
Right up to, you know, driving a Rolls Royce and Lamborghinis.
And they all have nice clean running shoes too.
Exactly.
With floor mats.
Exactly.
All right. The other product that we were talking about beforehand was a self-tinting or a self-regulating window tint. Can you tell us about that one?
Yeah. So that product is actually spectacular and it's new. One of the most common questions or discussions that we have when people come into the shop is, oh, what level of tint should I go with?
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest concern always is, you know, they want a darker tint in the daytime because they want to block that the sun's glare. But the biggest concern is the darker they go during the day to block the glare, the downside is that at nighttime you can't see and you just run over that cyclist that's sitting on the corner when you're making a right-hand turn.
Mm-hmm. There's actually some legal ramifications as well now.
Exactly. Yeah, I believe you can only go up to 35% legally on the front windows. So with this new transitional tint, which basically works the same as transitional sunglasses, that you get, you know, when you mm-hmm. go into the mall, is when the sun or the UV from the sun hits the film, it'll actually tint the carbon molecules and it will actually go darker. So as the sun comes out, it'll darken up the film. And then in the evening, as the sun goes down, the film will start to transition and become lighter, making it much easier to see outside with the low light that you have in the evening, as well making it safer at the end of the day.
Sure. The questions I have, technical questions. The cost for something like a UV tint per glass or per car?
So if you go with the with a regular ceramic tint, a vehicle, a five-window tint on a vehicle, let's say like a Honda Civic or something to that effect, a regular sedan, you're looking at about $400.
That's all.
To go to the transitional tint, which is still a ceramic, a high-performing ceramic, which means it gives you the heat rejection and stuff as well. But if you wanted those transitional properties, you go up now to about $900.
Is this a seasonal product? Being that, you know, in the summer, obviously, it's there's a lot more daylight out there. Now we're coming to winter, it's going to be darker. Do you find you sell more in the summer than you would in the winter or in spring?
No, it's probably about the same. People think of it more in the summertime just because they think the sun's out more in the summer. But to be honest with you, you get just as many customers coming in the winter because, you know, all that white snow that we get, although not so much lately, whenever there's white snow on the ground, you're getting a lot of reflection from the snow itself. So a lot of times when you're driving in the daytime, it's actually brighter in the winter than it is in the summer.
All right, David, if people want to see your product, you have any demos they can look online or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. They can check out our Instagram at Elegant Motoring. And on there, they can scroll through. You will have a cool view there,
mm-hmm.
Which shows the transitional tint. We use a UV flashlight for that. And then I believe there's also, if you go to at Fine Lab Toronto,
mm-hmm.
You'll actually see a couple of self-healing videos there.
All right, super. So, and again, and where are you guys located?
We're located at Park Lawn and Queensway in South Etobicoke in Toronto.
You're across from the food terminal.
So easy to get to.
You got it.
You can tell by all the Ferraris around there.
All right, David, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you as well. Have a great day, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the phones quickly. You want to talk to Betty?
We had Betty in Burlington. Yes. Betty, are you still there? Hello, Betty.
My arm is numb, so what can you do for that?
Yes, switch arms.
Anyway, I have a question for Trevor. We have a 2008 Sentra, and we've had it done through the Crown for the last several years. And I just want to know, why is it that there has to be so much dripping afterwards? We're in an apartment building with underground parking, and it makes such a mess down there. So is there any solution to that?
Yeah, there is for sure, Betty. Betty, what time of year do you get it sprayed?
Well, normally? It's December now. We used to get it done in October, but it got moved up to December.
Sure. So do you go to our Burlington location?
Yes,
to
we
Paul?
Do.
Okay. Do you know the owner, Paul Shaheen, there?
No, I don't.
Okay. Yeah, you know what I'll do is I'll pass a message on to him. But what I'd suggest is when you book your appointment, Mm-hmm. Let them know that you live in a condo building.
Okay.
And then what they'll do on the it's funny because usually where most of the dripping occurs is not from the underside of the vehicle. It's actually from the doors.
Yeah, the doors and the rear
right?
hatch.
Yeah. And so what they'll do, especially if they've treated it every year, is let them know that they'll treat it lighter. There's two reasons that the product will drip a little bit more than maybe it normally would.
Mm-hmm.
One is obviously if the application's too heavy. The other part is when it heats up. That's why I asked you what time of year you do it, because we tend to get a lot of this of people that get their vehicles sprayed in the winter, like January, February, when mm-hmm. it's really cold and there's virtually no dripping. And the complaint we get from people is, why isn't it dripping? Right. But then you come into, say, May or June when it warms up and the door panels heat up and then it activates and the product starts running and they're going, I got this sprayed 5 months ago. Why is this dripping now?
I like it because it makes me feel like I got my money's worth because I still see it, you know, 6 months or a year later.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Betty's absolutely right. Depending on where people are, when we're in city areas or people that live in apartments or condos, they want it sprayed lighter because of that issue.
Yeah.
Anywhere else, all the rural areas and that,
lay it
they
on.
Want it. They want it exactly like Alan said.
You know
said.
What I found? Kitty litter, which is basically calcium carbide. We would spray. We would put that down. It'll absorb the oil.
Well, that's what my son said too. He thought I should do that, but I didn't want to make a mess down there.
But you know what? If they're going to charge you to clean it, sometimes they get excited about it, and it'll charge you. Just put kitty litter down, and in a couple of days, it'll just disappear, and you sweep it away.
Yeah.
And the movement of the car.
I called your head office, and the girl gave me this big long story about why it's dripping so much. She said it's probably because of the age of your car, and they want to give you a little extra. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. But
well, if you've been doing it every year, my guess is if I took a look at your vehicle mm-hmm. up on a hoist, it probably looks pretty good.
Oh, it is.
Would be my guess. And and if you're still spraying, you know, your 11, 12-year-old Sentra, Ultima, it's gonna be well cared for. But that's what I would talk to Paul about. Paul and his family have been in our business since we started.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to an excellent location.
And I have to tell you, this vehicle always had problems with the brake lines and the fuel lines and the evaporator lines underneath the car. They would hang that stuff on the floor of the car, and for years they would be repairing that. You obviously haven't had that problem because you sprayed it.
Oh, God, don't say that.
No, because
you're very lucky. You're very lucky because a lot of the manufacturers have decided that, you know, they would encase those lines.
Yeah.
And in fact, as much as they thought it was a good idea, it wasn't because it also trapped the salt and the corrosion mm-hmm. would happen underneath it.
So you haven't had that.
One other question I wanted to ask. Why is it that they don't run these contests in the later months of the, you know, it's always the summer?
You're absolutely right, Betty. So this is where I put my entrepreneurial business hat on. Consumers want to come in the fall. That's when it's our busiest season for demand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit like, you know, when you want to go away to somewhere warm in January, February. They don't tend to run the same promotions. We're trying to generate business at other times of the year, and honestly, that's why we run the promotions then.
I see.
All right, Betty, hope we've helped.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you for the call.
And thanks for joining in. Dave, we're going to take a break.
We'll be right back with more of your phone calls. Actually, the phone lines of one of them is open if you want to get in, and we'll talk about that. And we're going to talk about some recalls, changing your tires for the winter, and whatever else comes up.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Alrighty, Dave's Corner Garage. My name's Dave Redinger.
And who knew how handsome Alan Gellman was? I really liked. Who wrote that?
I thought you were pretty handsome. Oh. In a manly way.
Thank you.
Trevor Hutchison from Crown, and of course, Alan. A couple of announcements I did want to make. Volvo and Audi are pulling out of the Montreal Auto Show.
Why do you think they're doing that?
And they joined Mercedes-Benz. It's partially because the millennial group that's coming in now,
uh-huh.
right? The next, we were the boomers.
Yeah.
This is the next group. They basically live on the internet. So right. what they do is they do an average of 3 to 3.5 inspections of their vehicle searches before they even walk into the dealership.
Well, so you're saying that they're just too lazy to get off their butt to actually go to a show?
You ever seen an ad for Carvana? You know, buy the car while you're binge watching.
Right.
Right. I mean, the reality is they live on the internet. They trust the internet. And it's pulling away people from coming to auto shows.
Wow. But so, you don't get that tactile kind of, you don't get any feeling.
And,
I mean,
yeah. The reality is here in Toronto, it's in the winter. It's the coldest part of the year. It's a great place to take your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't been affected that much yet. And I haven't heard any news of anybody pulling out here. But it seems like Volvo, Audi, and Mercedes, and the rumor is also Porsche, will not be in the Montreal Auto Show. Mm. And the Montreal Auto Show also runs concurrent with ours. It runs just ahead of ours.
Well, I'm not going to Montreal.
At Place Bonaventure. All right, that's my French. Another one I should know about is, if you're planning to buy a vehicle over $100,000, which is not hard, I don't think, a Porsche Cayenne or...
I mean, it's not hard to find one.
Even some trucks
hard
are 100
grand.
Hard
to pay for it.
Yeah.
I've seen trucks for 100 grand. But anyways, if you're planning to buy something over $100,000,
yes,
you're going to be subject to 23% sales tax in BC.
Oh, wow. How come?
Over and above. And secondly, here in Ontario, they're saying a 10% luxury tax. So if your $300,000 Bugatti is now going to be another $75,000 extra on tax, but it's the Grape Poupon, which you get for free.
Okay.
It's amazing.
All right, you know, speaking of nice cars, we've got Bob on the line. He's got a Lexus, and Bob's got some concerns. What can we do for you, Bob?
Well, hi, Dave. How are you?
Hey, good.
Listen, you made a quick mention of a friend of yours who's driving down to Florida, and he has a six-year-old car. And you were mentioning the fact that, well, it's getting a little long in the tooth. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand why, because more of the cars have increasingly large number of plastic parts in them, and the plastic tends to degrade and so on.
Okay.
So as a car gets older, in spite of the fact, like mine has about 100,000 K on it.
How old is it?
It's 2009. It's a 350, which has been rated as one of the most reliable cars in the world.
Okay, so what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Hopefully nothing. I have great faith in it, but roughly how long would you think most cars would last before they start ending up with problems? Having a problem in Toronto as I'm driving around is one thing. Filling up my car and driving it south and being stuck somewhere on I-75 in Georgia for the next week until the car gets fixed is a totally different issue.
Well, I don't know that you're going to get stuck and it's going to take that long to fix. I mean, you know, from a mechanical perspective, you know, certainly get the whole vehicle checked from top to bottom before you leave so that the things that you can prevent, you know, tire problems, suspension problems, brake problems, they can all be addressed. But you're right. I mean, I can't look inside of your starter motor. I can't see inside of your alternator. Those are things that, you know, could possibly break. But certainly in terms of getting parts, I don't think there's any major issue.
Can I ask a question? How long are you staying down there?
I'm down there for about 5 months.
I had the same problem, and I just bought a car down there. I went to a local dealership. I went to Enterprise. Because one of my tenants is Enterprise.
Yep.
They hooked me up. I bought a Mustang. I bought it for about $10,000 less than I would have bought it here. Mm-hmm. And I still have the car. So it's not hard to get insurance. Insurance was $600 for the year. The licensing was, I think, $85. And the car was $16,000. But you don't have to buy a Mustang. But buy a car, leave it down there, and just fly back and forth.
Well, that was another issue that, you know, I'm sort of in the process of debating whether I should just do that, because that's another totally different.
Can I ask you just to hang on? We're going to go to a break and we'll come back to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Hang on to the phone because we have to do a commercial break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about this. All righty, Al, take us out.
Okay, we're going to have some questions with, or try to discuss Bob's dilemma.
Yeah.
And figure, should he get a Mustang or sell his Lexus?
It's a chick magnet. The only problem is you can't get their walkers in the trunk.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're in conversation with Bob about driving a vehicle in Florida, and we're suggesting to Bob that he actually buy a car down there. Bob, it's actually really simple.
I understand that it's simple. This has been something that I've been considering as an alternative.
Yeah.
There are several alternatives. One is to have the car simply freighted down, but that by the time I do that, I can lease a car down there.
So, right. But I guess the other part of the concern, too, is I bet your wife's got three suitcases full of shoes that she wants to take with her as well, right?
Experienced this, have you? Okay, that is my actual problem. I can get down there on a carry-on bag. Unfortunately, the car ends up full. But next question I was going to ask, I was looking at purchasing a new car.
Mm-hmm.
The car I have has Toyota/Lexus's 6-speed automatic transmission, which was fairly bulletproof. They have followed everybody else with an 8-speed, with which apparently they're having incredible difficulties. It's not working out.
Alan?
Do you know if it's actually been sold yet or not, or if they still have people waiting for transmissions?
Great question. I don't know. I'm happy to look into it for you. If you want to listen to my commercial, give me a call on Monday. I'd be happy to look into it. I have a really good tranny guy who could probably give us some answers. But no, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. You can go online. There are hundreds of people waiting for trannies.
Would you consider buying a new car in Florida and bringing it back?
Is it worthwhile anymore? Once upon a time, it was very worthwhile.
Well, the dollar difference makes
sense. Is it worth it or not?
Well, you do get the 5 or 6 months use of it, and then you bring it back. And I think you have to pay the GST at the border.
Yep.
And there's a little bit of paperwork at Canadian Tire. But other than that, you can bring it back. So.
Actually, Bob, question two, though. When did they switch to the 8-speed?
I believe it was 2016 or 17. If you go online and Google ASIN, AISIN, 8-speed transmission, there's a whole series of contacts that you can click onto. They'll show you how the transmission is taken apart and put together again.
That's what you want to do at the side of the road. But question, if you know specifically when they started using them, why not look for a used one that's a couple years old have this one?
Yeah, well, it would be a about a 2015, which is another possibility. Mm. Yeah,
right. And if you get a gently used one of those, you're going to save a whole lot of money and it'll be a lot more reliable.
Let us know what you figure out. Let us know. It'd be interesting.
Okay. Anyway, thank you very much, gentlemen.
You're welcome, Bob.
Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Interesting question, and that's a problem. Like, a lot of guys will say, do I winterize my car when I'm driving to Florida to the warm weather?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's another, do I put snows on it? Do I...
Then when people ask me, it depends on, what time of year you're actually driving down. If it's November, December, you can hit any kind of freak weather. And the little damage that's going to happen to them when it's down there, I would go with the winter tires.
Yeah. By the way, we were talking about insurance. You have to actually arrange that before you go to Florida. They don't like giving Canadians insurance because we're Canadians. And we're not permanent residents. So the idea is you have to arrange insurance before you go down, and then it's a piece of cake.
Perhaps because they're eating their Timbits and drinking Timmy's coffee while they're driving at the same time.
I can't believe the show's over.
It is. That's the music that you're hearing. I want to thank Trevor for joining us from Crown.
Trevor's a fantastic show. So fast.
It was fun, gentlemen.
Right? Crown at .com?
.com.ca.
A lot of information on that.
Yeah. The website really is where all consumers should go before making the decision.
We should thank Donut here. We always call him Donut. The operator, he's a fantastic operator. He does a great job. Alan, thank you.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure. Make sure to come in. Give me a call at Glen Allen Motors or your own mechanic. Get that car ready for winter. Make your appointment at Crown and get it all done.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Who cares about the clouds and we're together?
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.